morning. Thanks for coming in. How's the sound with this? Is it?
It's okay.
Okay. Okay, better with. Great. Well, good morning and welcome. It's so great to see you this first day of gathering. How many people came yesterday? Arrived yesterday? And how many are just arriving today? Okay, great. So hopefully you've settled in. We arrived yesterday, and I'd like to introduce myself and my team. We're so happy to be here. My name is Rebecca Caldwell, and I'm CEO of 10 Directions, and I'm also the co-founder of the Integral Facilitator Certificate Program. That's a 9-month program, an integral pathway for advanced leadership development. And I'm here with an amazing team of integralists, of geniuses in helping support learning and growth and development. These are very courageous people who are willing to step into almost any situation without a moment of hesitation, especially when people need assistance or there's an opportunity to bring people closer together and to create understanding and maybe even commitment to do things together in new ways. And these people are my trusted companions on my own ongoing journey. I'd like you to meet Cindy Lou Golan, back here. Cindy Lou is a developmental coach in our Integral Facilitator Program. She's a shadow expert, and she'll be offering a session on shadow play this week. And she has an amazing talent in helping people identify their heartmost desire, translating that into an intention, and then supporting people as a coach in really fulfilling their intention with clarity and a lot of enjoyment. So if you have an opportunity ever for a little conversation with Cindy Lou, I think you'll get a sense of that experience, and you'll experience her today as well as she leads us through parts of the workshop. Next to her is Rob McNamara, perhaps not a stranger. Rob and Cindy Lou have both been in the integral scene for a long time, and Rob is in particular carving a path around developmental coaching that I think is really important for these times. And what else would I say about you? An author, two books, and more on the way. Also two babies, two kids that you'll also see at the conference. We're really happy for that. And his wife, Brooke McNamara, is also here and part of the overall event. So and your parents, it's very much a family affair. Three generations, and Rob will be presenting as well later this week. We've got the incredible Lauren Tenney, and I actually met Lauren through the integral world. Lauren Tenney holds down part of our leadership at 10 Directions and has been instrumental in providing a really clear focus for the integral facilitator track this whole week. So you might know that we're one of three sort of specialized pathways through the conference. And Lauren's leading that, heading that up for us. On the other side of Cindy Lou is Alana Felt. Thanks for, maybe just so people don't have to turn their necks too far. They'll be around. So do you want to come up a little bit closer? Thanks, Suzanne. Perfect. Yeah, so here's Alana Felt. Yay. And Alana Felt's also at 10 Directions. Alana Felt is the program director for the Integral Facilitator Program, so our 9-month program advanced certificate. She is a key person if you want to grab a little conversation this week, have any questions about the program. Alana in particular holds that role within 10 Directions and is also a graduate of the program and just came out of a 9-month really guiding 22 people through a 9-month certificate program. So Alana's, that's kind of a bit of Alana's, capability. Yeah. One of her many hats. Yeah. Great. And then Steph Brown. Yay. So Steph, I think it's your first integral conference. Yeah. Super. Stephanie is really a leading a leader, actually. A leader. Yeah, so in the whole world of visual facilitation, how many people have been in a meeting with visual facilitation, maybe graphic recording or visual? Yes, so Stephanie, you might have also crossed paths with her. She's really So what I'm noticing is actually what she does is provides meaning beyond words. And that wasn't contrived. I'm just trying to think of, like, what is it that she actually conveys? So there's a way that Stephanie captures with a lot of expertise multiple layers of meaning and shared understanding. Sometimes when there's a lot of concepts, that's a counterpoint to help us understand more deeply or more completely. And it's just so enjoyable to have Stephanie with us and to interact and be part of the team this week. And you'll be around throughout the IF track, which is so great. And she's also a graduate of our program. So, and a kick-ass facilitator. Great. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Good. So, I wanted to share just a little bit of how this program, the integral facilitator discipline, came into light. Because it's possible that some of you are also ready to pop in terms of a longing or a desire, or perhaps a voice that keeps coming back and calling you as someone who sees the challenges of the world today, the difficulties we're encountering, the disappointment if we pay attention to social media and what's being shared and tweeted, especially by leaders. And if you have that kind of desire or calling, I really want to encourage you in any way I can to pay attention to it and then to shift from that desire. Think about it as your fuel and use that fuel to step forward into whatever that path is for you and your uniqueness. And about 10 years ago, I found myself in a situation where I had a lot of longing for things to be different. I had, at that time, 20 years of strategic management consulting experience, lots of multi-stakeholder projects, working with government, nonprofits, private sector, working at system level, organizational level, teams, and with individuals. And I felt there was just the question was like, isn't there something more? There's got to be a way to have greater impact. I was competent. I knew what to do. I had the skills. I had clients that wanted, for some reason, wanted to keep coming back and doing things. But I had this feeling that something wasn't complete or whole. So I went on a little bit of a journey, and I'm going to make it really short. I met Diane Musho-Hamilton at a workshop. And I was instantly inspired. And I'm feeling goosebumps right now. Do you know what goosebumps are? Yeah. Just thinking about it, there was a way that her presence and her capacity to work with the group, we were in a group situation, and work with individuals in the group somehow revealed what had been missing for me, or what I didn't even know it was missing, but I was hoping for more. And when I met her, I saw what more looked like, what more impact, more engagement, deeper connection, more compassion actually looked like when working with other people. And so that catalyzed me to go with that longing and turned it into a question about how can I bring more integral enactment? How can we not only learn about the map and various perspectives and stages, et cetera, how can we translate that into the work that we do with each other? And I had this thought that maybe if we work together, we could figure out a way to create a program that could actually help other leaders like me. I was maybe more self-centered at the beginning. How can I learn this? But then how can we translate this into a training that can support other leaders because it's clear that the issues out there in the world aren't only philosophical issues. They're also issues about being together as we resolve those, or as we have those conversations, or as we encounter the moments when we actually need to fight for something that's important or essential to ensure that people are treated fairly. So collaboration requires these skills. The world requires our collaboration and our capacity to bridge differences. And this is one approach that we formulated over the last 5 years and delivered that we believe is actually helping really clearly respond to what's at the core. And what you'll learn through the day, our purpose today is give you an example of some of the aspects that an integral approach can offer us when we embody them and bring them into group work, a way that we can be better vehicles of the kind of change that we need to help support, catalyze, and guide people through to bring more goodness, truth, and beauty to the world. So does that sound like a worthwhile endeavor? Of course, yeah, that's kind of a leading question, isn't it? Yeah. That's a little bit of the journey that we want to take you on through the day today. This is a full-day workshop. I'm not sure that everyone's aware of that. And we'll be offering you a variety of experiences. And to help us get into a mode where we can really connect and get to know you and enjoy our time together, I would love to invite everyone to be in the guidance of Cindy Lou Golan at this point. So I'm going to hand it off to Cindy Lou, and she'll help us just learn a little bit more about who's this collective.
Thanks, Rebecca. It's great to see you all. It's fun to see familiar faces gathered in a place so far from home. And it's also wonderful to meet new people. So we're just going to take some time and get to know each other before we dive in. So let's start by, and this is the first part of this is going to be a team building exercise. I want to invite you to pick up your belongings and move your chair to the side of the room. Yeah, and then let's gather in a circle. Yeah, just pull your chairs anywhere against the wall, and you can put your stuff on your chair. Oh, except for in front of Stephanie. And let's just gather in a circle. Sorry, it's tricky for this room. We actually didn't anticipate having a small room and a large crowd. But we'll make it work. So first, let's start with learning where everyone's from, the geography. I call it the circle matrix process, and some of you may be familiar with it. And by the way, because, you know, today we're learning about integral facilitation, we're going to also be pointing to some of the structures throughout the day that we're using. If you're ever curious about what we're doing and why, you can always call what we call a stop action. It's kind of like time out in a sporting event, where you can go, oh, stop action. And then we can point to what we're doing if that's helpful for you. And we might also call stop actions, too, to also take more of a meta perspective and look at what we're doing. So, time out. Sure, and we are working on the thermostat, but yeah, we'll totally take care of that. Thanks. So how this works is I'll ask a question, and if it applies to you, step into the center of the circle, and you can do it to what degree is true for you, right? So the first question is there anyone here that is local, from Budapest? Or from Hungary? Okay, we have one person. Wonderful. And so if that's true for you, you can go right to the center of the circle. Half, okay. Can you say more about why it's half?
Because I'm mostly international, basically. Okay. I mean, yeah.
Great. Awesome, thanks. Yeah, so if it's partially true, that's perfect. You would step out to here. Maybe you've visited a lot before and you're just here. So who else is from the European continent? So that would include the UK. If there's any confusion, European continent. Great. So let's hear some shout outs. Where are people from?
Belgium.
Denmark. Anyone else from Denmark? Okay, a few. Half, okay. Where else? Anyone else? Czech Republic? Okay.
Estonia.
Spain.
Just one. Spain. Hands?
Germany and Spain.
Germany,
okay, cool.
Bulgaria,
wow.
UK.
Diverse, UK, any other from the UK?
Scotland,
okay. I love the diversity in Europe. Now, Spain, was there just the one person from Spain? Okay.
And France?
France, okay.
And Poland.
Anyone else from Poland? Okay. Anyone else that we've missed? Okay, welcome everyone. Switzerland. Anyone else from Switzerland? Okay. We got everybody. Thank you. Wonderful to have you all here, our European crowd. Okay, how about anyone here from the Asian continent? Wow. Where are you from?
China. And do you live full time in China?
Sorry?
You live full time in China?
Now? Yeah. In Shanghai.
Thank you for traveling to be here with us.
Thank you.
You're the only one. Thank you for representing. It's so important that you're here. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, how about South America?
Yes.
Yay! Welcome. Thanks for coming all this way. That's great. North America. Wow. Lots of North Americans. Okay, let's hear some shout outs. Where's everybody from?
Canada.
How many other Canadians?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a few. I'm half Canadian. Great. Wow, okay. Anyone else from, and can you say for the Europeans where that is?
That's in the eastern mountains.
Tennessee.
Yes, of the U.S.
Yes. Okay.
But we prefer to be a separate country.
Yeah, like a lot of states.
Exactly.
So how many people from the United States? Okay, and then is there anyone who's not from Canada or the United States? Where are you from?
Mexico.
Yay, thanks for being here. That's awesome. Great. Anyone else want to shout out states? I know how we are.
Maine.
California.
Utah.
Washington.
Cool.
New York.
Awesome.
Colorado.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Okay, and let's see. I know I'm missing a continent. I'm missing a few. Sorry. Australia? Yay! Thank you for being here. It's great to have you. And African continent. Anyone here from the African continent? Great. Come on in, just because. Okay.
Tell me about why you're partial.
I was born in Malawi.
And brought up there, so many years there.
Wonderful. Awesome. And where do you live now?
In London.
London, okay. And anyone here from Antarctic? Okay, no one here from... So that's the one continent that's not represented. Okay, we'll have to have a further reach next time we market for the IEC. Great. So now I'd love to hear about kind of why you're here and what you do for a living. So how many people are professional facilitators? Go ahead and step. And again, you know, there may be gradations. Maybe you do a little bit of it. So I'd love for people to just share, and I'll pass the mic around, in what, you know, ways do you facilitate?
I'm a therapist. I give sessions, but I also do groups on feminine empowerment and other topics.
Great. Anyone else work as a facilitator, as a therapist? Okay, great. So you guys might step in a little if you're facilitating in that way. Other ways that you guys facilitate?
I facilitate with faculty, having them understand what their intentions are for what they do and to translate that into their research projects.
Okay, great. And do you work in a school?
No, I'm retired, actually. I work with my husband, who's a professor, and we facilitate faculty that invite us to come and do that.
Wonderful.
So we were just in Australia doing that.
Great. And how many others work in education and facilitate through education? Teachers or what? Shout out. Anybody?
Yeah. I'm a facilitator. Yes. I mix South American coaching, which is coaching ontological, and shamanism. And I develop a model. I am developing a model. And I set up a small business about it. So I work with other friends, and we facilitate change process in schools in Chile. We work with teachers and with kids doing leadership and, peaceful communication.
Wonderful. It's so eclectic already, right? Really rich. Who else would like to share?
Yeah, I do kind of the same, developing a project on introducing integral theory into schools. Into high schools.
Wow, high school.
Yeah, especially in humanitarian teaching and for the teachers as well.
Thanks. Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm. I introduce people how to play Tibetan singing bowls, Himalayan singing bowls. It's a metal sound therapy instrument, and I do that in Mexico, the United States, and other places.
Thank you. Well, thanks, all you professional facilitators. So let's make it back to the outside the circle. What other professions are in the room?
Health coach.
Health coach, nutrition. How many other coaches? Coaches? Okay. Lots of coaches. Great. And as coaches, we facilitate, even if it's we're working with one person, and if we're working with groups, obviously we're facilitating as well. So great to have all the coaches here. You guys know who to ask if you need help. other professions?
Architecture.
Architecture. Any other architects? Come on in. Any other? This is our sole architect. Awesome.
There's a partial.
Okay, great. So I imagine even as an architect, you probably work with a team. Is that accurate? Can you share a little bit more about how integral facilitation might apply to the work that you do?
Well, actually, mostly I'm teaching and researching in architecture, so I'm a faculty member in the university. So always working with students and then also research teams. So Suzanne was describing some of our work earlier.
Oh, great.
Okay, great. You guys are a team and you're a couple. Cool. So, yeah, it's great to see in all kinds of professions, whether we really are consciously aware of it or not, we're facilitating. Any other professions? How about any? Yeah, Lauren. Dancer, okay, great. That's an amazing way to facilitate. Other dancers, wow, great. Other areas?
Yoga teacher.
Yoga teacher, okay, cool, great. Sure, come on in.
Medical doctor.
Wow, wonderful. Okay, other people in the medical profession? Come on in, great. Wonderful. Other areas?
Journalism.
Great. Journalism, let's step on in. Any other journalists? People work in media? Nice. Everyone's got a toe. Wonderful.
Program and project management.
Yeah, project management. I was wondering about that. Any project managers in the room? Okay, great. Come on in. Wow, lots of you. That's a great area to apply integral facilitation. So hopefully there's some tools you can take home that will be useful for you as you move forward. Anyone I'm missing? Yeah?
Transdisciplinary research.
So do you work as faculty or?
No.
No?
Outside of the university, working partway, like halfway between practitioner and academic.
Great. Awesome. Wonderful. Yeah?
Software development.
Sorry? Software development. I'm so glad that you're here. Great. Software development. Any other people who work in that realm? IT or software development? Wow, look at you all. And there's someone who stepped in and stepped out. Great. Anyone else want to share their profession? Bring it into the room.
Bent calls me a troublemaker.
Okay, any other troublemakers in the room? You're only half a troublemaker? You're not going to really own it? I've heard about you, Mark. I have, actually. Oh, come on, all the troublemakers. Wait, Rob? See, he's already doing it. Great. Thanks, Mark. Organizational consultants. Wow, lots of you. You guys have been hiding. Great. Thanks. Other professions? Sustainability. Nice. Come on in. Don't be shy. Thank you for doing that. We really need you. We appreciate it. Wonderful. So I want to take a moment, too, and appreciate, I should have probably done this a lot earlier, but I want to appreciate anyone here who has English as a second language. So thank you, and feel free to come on into the center of the circle. And again, maybe there's a gradation. I know. Well, just so, yeah, all the Americans are left on the outside of the circle. Just so you know, for me, I'm out here, but first of all, I want to say thank you. I really appreciate it. And I also want to share, too, that if I'm going too fast or you can't understand me, just or any of the facilitators today, just wave a little, because I know for me, I forget, and I know I talk fast, and California has it's like a dog whistle where not everybody can hear it. So please let me know if you want me to slow down or anything. So you guys can all stay here for now, and as I ask the questions, you can go back out if it doesn't apply to you. But how many people here speak more than two languages? So stay in the circle if you speak more than two. Maybe you want to come in farther. If you don't, you can extend out. Wow. You guys want to shout out some of the languages?
Believe it or not, but English for me is the third language. I mean, the second foreign language, which Americans don't usually believe that, but...
Thank you for clarifying. That is important. That's great. So you speak Hungarian? Yes? No?
No, I'm Lithuanian, and my first foreign language is Russian, because now I live in a Russian-speaking environment, and the second foreign language or the third language is English.
Okay. Great. Anyone else want to share the languages that you speak?
A little French and Russian.
Wow, French, Russian, and English. Thanks. Well, thank you. Now, how about anyone who speaks more than three languages? Stay in the center. Wow. That's amazing. How about anyone who speaks more than four languages? This is a contest. See, this is the American competition coming in now. This is how... So we're on four, right? Anyone speak more than five?
More than five?
Okay, are you five? Okay, stay here for a moment. Five and five. Great. I'd love to hear what your five are.
Dutch, English, French, German, and Polish.
Bulgarian, Russian, French, Czech, Danish, and English.
You know, when I think about the integral map and what, like, it's like your interior would have to be so, it's so interesting to imagine. Well, like, just dancing and so expansive, and I imagine a lot of ability to take expanded perspective.
Estonian, Finnish, Russian, English, and Slovakian.
Amazing. Thanks, you guys. So the next thing I'd like to check out, and by the way, Becky or Rob, can someone just give me time cues? I don't think I'm doing very well with maintaining the time frames, but let me know. For familiarity with integral theory. So how many here would consider themselves like integral geeks? Like totally, like you read Sex, Ecology, and Spirituality, or you read the new book that Ken's put out that's got like 800 pages? Come on in, be proud. And again, it's a gradation, right? So good to see. So any of you integral experts want to share anything for those who maybe are not?
You don't really need it.
Thanks, that's awesome. And so you read SE. How does it feel to have read all that stuff and done all that and then to find out you don't really need it?
What's the question again?
How is it to have studied so much and to find out you don't need it? What's that like for you?
It's fun, but you don't need it.
Awesome. And what I love that Tom's pointing to is the importance of not just the map, but the territory. Which is great. Thanks. And so those of you on the outer circle, does that mean you're not familiar with it?
Just means we had sex recently, so
Mark's being a troublemaker. So comments from the outside of the circle on you're brand new to integral, or how about you over there? Sorry, I can't see your name tag. Okay, a little bit. Okay, so you took a little step into the circle. Not a geek yet. Okay. What's that?
Total newbie.
Wow, total newbie over there. Yay. Welcome. Great. Well, thanks, everyone. So another question I'm curious about, how many people here already consider themselves integral facilitators, whether or not they've done anything with 10 directions? How many people already use the integral map in their facilitation? Okay, great. I really want to appreciate that you're all out there doing that. Would anyone like to share how that is, in what ways you do that?
I work as a facilitator with organizations, and as a spiritual teacher, I involve, or I take as well, all the meditation parts with it in it. And for the Integralist Forum in Germany, I'm the facilitator, so we have all these integral geeks that I have to facilitate. That's a great job.
That's awesome.
I'm doing it with leadership teams of organizations, mainly businesses, and I do 2 or 3 days workshops or retreat workshops where using the Aqual map, we are going like element by element and digging insights. Basically, this is self-diagnostics workshop, which I call evolutionary insight. So they dig insights using like all 5 elements of Aqual.
One of my roles is working with physicians in a hospital who are very orange level, and I like to sneak up on them and spread a little pixie dust at a higher level for them without being able to name it so they can't dismiss it.
That's wonderful. You know, I use pixie dust in my work, too. I didn't realize, but now that is totally part of the map. Thanks, Tom.
I apply an integral approach on nutrition, so I'll guide people through the integral map and help them to find out more about themselves in terms of how they eat and what they eat and how are the influences of other people, surroundings, what are the implications on ecology, psychology, and all this stuff to be more aware about their nutritional world and about themselves in this world as eating people.
That's great. I really appreciate how there's so many different ways, and I'm sure this is true for everyone on the outer ring of the circle as well, that you know, the theme of the conference is to be an ally for evolution. And I just really hear that coming out in all that you're sharing about what you do. So let's move to the outer circle, and we're going to shift gears soon. But before we do... Oh, okay, that's current.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I was trying to rush and complete. So let's, we have a couple more minutes to get to know each other in this format. How many people have done anything with 10 directions before? Maybe you've done an online program or you've done in-person, Next Stage. Wow, Cool. Well, that's nice. Thanks for coming back. Good to see you all. Great. And I'm curious if you guys have any questions that you want to find out who else is in the room that has that in common or any area that you're curious about. A particular way that something we often get asked. Oh, here's one. Entrepreneurs. Great. Thanks. Any entrepreneurs? Not self-employed, but like
in debt, and worry.
Because I'm kind of looking for people who are in this field also to maybe exchange some things. So, thanks.
Thanks. Anything else anyone's wondering? A question we often get, and sometimes it shows up after the fact, so I'll do it now. Is there anyone single who's looking for a partner? Okay, these guys are available. Wonderful. That's always good to know.
Is anyone partner that's looking to be single?
Any partners looking to be single? Okay, well, that's good. Anything else that anyone would like to present? Yeah.
Are there any community builders?
Wow. Community builders. Rebecca, you should be like, yeah. Great. Integral catalyst. Cool. Well, it's great to get to know you. It's fun to see who's in the room. And I'm going to turn it over to Rob, who's going to support us in taking it even a little deeper and more personal, perhaps.
Yeah, we're going to make some friends. All right, so what you're going to do is you're going to do this evolutionary practice called walking, like controlled falling, and go ahead and join. You're just going to meander around the room, and you're going to find somebody that you're going to partner up with just for 2 minutes. So you're not getting married. Don't worry. It's just 2 minutes. But find somebody that you're interested to get to know, and then let's go ahead and pause and find that partner right now. And then if you're still looking, raise your hand and then look for a hand. All right, so let's see. Okay, you too. All right, any other hands right here? Do you have a partner? Here we go. There we go. Okay. Now, hold on a second. All right. So if I can get your attention. Yeah. Okay. So here's your question. Just 2 minutes. Why are you here? So about a minute each. Go. Okay. Bring your conversation to a close and kindly begin to move your feet once again. Yes, you're going to have to break up already. Go ahead and move around just a few steps and then find yourself next to somebody new. And before you leap into conversation, all right. If I can get your attention just for a moment, here's the inquiry. What are you here to learn? What are you here to learn? All right, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Okay. If I could kindly get you to come to silence. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm going to give you the instruction before you move so that when you meet your new person, you are like ready to go. And I apologize for not doing that last time. Okay, so your next inquiry is, if today was to be wildly successful, what would your intention need to be? So as you're strolling through the space, take a few moments to really think and imagine wildly successful day today with us, with each other and with yourself, and what intention are you going to set that's going to help you get there? Okay, so go ahead and start to stride through the space. I'm going to give you a little bit more time to kind of imagine that wild success. Remember, it's not success, it's wild success. It's wild. And then find another partner and raise that hand if you're looking for somebody. Okay, there's one over on right behind you. 2 minutes. Okay, bringing that conversation to a close. Okay. You guys, we have a serious challenge in our midst. Somehow, some way, we have to assemble chairs back into some meaningful coherence, all aimed in the same direction. Do you think we can do that? No problem. There is a times constraint. You got to do it in 10 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. But let's be brief. Yeah, let's be with a spring in our steps. Ideally, same setup as this morning. But that's a great question.
So if you would be seated, as soon as your row seems straight, just be seated, and then we'll know that you're ready.
Well done.
Well done. Give yourselves a hand. Let's hear it. Yeah. And just notice if your preferences aren't quite met right now for whatever things that you look for when chairs are set up. Great. Well, thanks. And good morning again. It's so different being here than being in the milling and in the circles. I'm just noticing that the structures that we use with groups and in meetings, sessions, when we're teaching, training, all the various ways we're working with groups, we can actually structure the environment to create a different experience. So here we are back with our attention towards the front. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of insight, I guess, into the method behind what I'm about to say. And that's, I am really committed to help groups when they come into a new meeting, a session, whether it's a workshop or whatever, to establish a certain amount of a container for the participation to happen well, for us to be able to meet our objectives. Does that make sense to you? So I kind of attend to what does the group need to ensure that we can all participate together and be successful. It might be a meeting outcome. It might be that the group actually feels bonded. It might be another intention that we have for the group. Whatever that is, setting up the beginning is a really important stage. And so we've been taking a few steps together for this workshop today to live that together, to help support our shared purpose, which is learning about integral facilitation. So can anybody give me, just top of mind, what are the things that you've seen or experienced so far this morning that have helped set the container for us to have a good experience together for the day? What things have you noticed? Just maybe a couple of examples, two or three.
Willingness.
Okay, so.
I've seen willingness to be together and to share each other.
We're creating an environment where people can kind of choose in and show their willingness, their interest, and start to participate. Great. What else has been put in place to create that container? Suzanne?
Well, a couple of processes that allow us to be known by the group, for everyone to be known.
Great. Super. Yeah, so a chance to kind of be seen as an individual before I get swallowed up by the whole, the big group. I have a chance to kind of be there. I'm from Appalachia. Damn it. Right. I'm independent, damn it. Yeah.
I would say a bit of vulnerability in discussing with somebody else that you've never met before what it is you hope to achieve, and in that process, telling a little bit more about yourself that could be personal.
So engaging the whole person, giving you an opportunity to share something from your interior, because otherwise I have no idea what your interest is unless I actually hear you share it, right? Perfect.
I was struck by the introduction and how you introduced the other leaders or the other co-facilitators in the group, and that left a sense of kind of a strong team.
Thank you. Tom, and then I'll give you a little bit
more. I appreciated how you had us moving around and weaving with each other, and it gives an opportunity to kind of weave in and out of each other's physical energy as animals in the room.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks very much. Excellent. Let's do this, the last one.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, I think just the way you opened with being very present with people and what we call the pure welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. That's a really nice frame. I haven't heard that before. Thank you. Great. So the other thing that we can do in creating the container with the group, besides the things that you've mentioned, is set some expectations. Sometimes we call them norms or ground rules, or I don't know, do you use other terms? Is that familiar to commitments to each other? Basically, to set, if we're thinking from an integral perspective, this would be sort of our commitments to behaviors. Not that our behaviors are only in the lower right, but it's the kind of, what kind of culture do we want to create and maintain through the day so that our shared intention can be successful? And what I would normally do with a group in a different situation, especially if we're ongoing as a working culture or a learning culture, is establish this together from the beginning. But I'm going to short track this a little bit, given the amount of experience that was in the room. What I'd like to do is share with you the ground rules that we use in our 10 Directions programs, whether it's online or in person. So I'll just give you the shorthand version, and I want you to know, feel free, and I encourage you to actually create your own, and also feel free to use these if they're of value for you. So I'd like to propose these for us and just see whether it's something that you can align with and would be willing to support today. How's that sound to you? Is that okay? Yeah. So rather than create them from scratch, which I might do if we had more time. So you can see a beautiful diagram on that side of the wall. Stephanie's been creating that for us, and it's in process. It'll change through the day, I'm sure. And they're also over here on this wall. The very first one is before each other. So if you think about commitment, what we're saying is that as we participate, we're actually fundamentally behaving in a way that is for the other. We're not looking for conflict or contrast or a way to position myself separate from that person, but actually orienting to like really being for you in your learning, supporting you, being curious, wanting to create enough presence that makes it easy for the other person to participate and also have their experience. So are you guys willing to be for each other in this workshop? Yeah? Okay. How is that, as a facilitator, how would that response be in terms of strength of commitment? What do you think? Not quite sure yet. So is there a way, just be conscious of that. So are you willing to be for each other? Yeah. And give me some kind of, okay, awesome. That's really helpful. Okay, great. And then the next one is sort of a pair. And this is, especially in a learning environment, being willing to offer support. So it's also related to being for each other, offering support and encouragement. It might be a nod, it might be listening to someone, basically orienting to the other in a way that serves to create a supportive environment. Are you willing to support that, commit to that?
Yes.
Okay, great. The other side of that is also the right amount of challenge. And especially in this community where we're all so capable, there's a lot of capable people in the room, we want to give you an opportunity perhaps to be just a little bit beyond your comfort zone at some point today. So sometimes that means supporting people and also giving them the right amount of challenge. So how does that sound to you? Are you willing to? Yes?
Yes.
Lauren? Good. Yeah, it's all about, I'm giving you so much support right now. This is what I think you should do. I've just made a few notes, Suzanne. I think if you do this one first, you're going to be much more successful at that. And then if you could, maybe you fill that in and give her the second step. Yeah.
Give her the blank one for me.
Right. Yeah, so also part of this is also, when is it that you actually have an agenda for the other and notice that, right? And receiving support and receiving challenge is the reciprocal, so we expect both. Thank you. Good? Okay, next two are also a pair. Talk straight, so as authentically as you can, and listen well. And that's also the receptive, receiving quality. So talking straight, expressing clearly, saying what you mean, and listening well. Yes? Are you with me? Good. Okay. And then the last one is use everything for learning. So it might be a moment when perhaps you weren't received by someone, and noticing that in your interior and working with that. It might be a moment when an expectation that you had isn't met, and noticing that and then using that for your learning, being curious about it. You might have a judgment come up, you might make an effort to do something and be disappointed in how you did it. That's there for your learning. And it can be really pleasurable if we orient around that, especially in a one-day workshop with so many people, to use everything that we experience as something for our learning. So it's kind of an awareness that we can bring to the process. So are you committed, are you willing to commit to that for our purpose today?
Yes?
Great. So with those ground rules in place, it becomes a way of orienting us in some shared values, some shared commitments to behaviors, and gives us a little bit more of a container and orientation that's supportive. I also want to point to ways that this work that we're doing together through the day, the ways that the workshop will provide opportunities for learning, and just some tips on how to learn so that you can get the most benefit from it. So just anticipating the way that it's going to go. Alana, could you move to the next slide, please? So one of the tips that Cindy Lou already provided was stop action. Do you remember when she made the timeout symbol? So we'll be doing that occasionally, and you can do that too. So if there's any time when you need a little bit more information or, ask a question about what's happening in the moment, that's a good way to just make that sign, and we can stop and explore what's happening, okay? The other is pointing out. So what I'll say about that is, especially with a team, we have multiple people on our team in the room. Everyone is engaged even in this moment, watching, anticipating, aware of the whole, as well as aware of what's happening individually. Things like cameras are going up. Feel free to take pictures of the flip charts and the slides if they're of use to you. And when certain dynamics come up in the moment, we can draw our attention to them and point them out. So we might be doing that for you, a member of the team, and saying, just here's something we can notice, and we'll point to that as it's happening. And because we're working with energetics today, we're working with presence, we're working with perspectives, there's always multiple opportunities to point out things, but we'll be especially reinforcing some of the key things that are part of integral facilitation. So the other thing is learning is around not so much our ideas of where this is going, how it fits with everything else I've ever learned, but orienting to what's most vivid in the moment. So what I'd like you to do, I'm going to take a bit of a risk right now, is turn to the person next to you, and in one sentence or less, share what's most vivid so far in the workshop today. And just take 20 seconds to do that with the person next to you. What's been most vivid? And then turn your attention back to me. Okay. So awesome. Great. Well, I'm glad there's something vivid so far. Did you notice a difference between the energy in the room before you started to answer that question and when you were answering it? Did anybody hold that in their awareness? Like, wow, the room's buzzing right now, or it's getting louder, or it feels or there's more happening, maybe in different ways? Yeah, so that's something we want to notice, point out, and start to notice what are the injunctions. What are the steps that we can take? Sometimes we call them, it's really sexy, the facilitator moves. The things that we can do as a facilitator, right, that's holding the group, that allows that shift to happen. And that's just one thing that we can shift, but the state that we were in and the state that we moved to. What are the injunctions that we can do? And also noticing when it's happening, like what does it feel like and what does it do to the group's process or the intention of the group? So at this time, what I'd like to do is bring you into a more clear understanding of what we mean by developing yourself in service of the group. We've talked about the container, the group structures, our ground rules, and kind of getting that established. We also want to be able to give you a taste of the main orientation that we have in next stage facilitation or second tier orientation or even an integral orientation to facilitation. That one of the biggest factors that defines that is that we're orienting from the self, not from the other and not from the techniques. They're included, absolutely, but the new territory is how to grow ourself as an instrument in service of the group's intention. So that's at the core of integral facilitation. We'll be going there next. I'll ask Rob to come up. Later, beyond that, we'll be working with a really important distinction in energetics that resolves a polarity between sameness and difference so that we can include the whole. We want to be integrative and include all. So we'll be going into a sameness and difference exploration and working with that energy. And then this afternoon, we'll be working with the three primary perspectives and the skills as a facilitator to use those injunctions and much more in the group domain this afternoon, where you will also, some of you will be actively facilitating group discussions, and we'll be looking for the integration of some of the things that we're working with through the day. So there's a practice called Flex Flow at the end of the afternoon. So that's kind of a loose progression through the day, and I can talk a little bit more about it later. So I'd like now to pass, is there a question? Sorry, no, okay, thanks Lauren. So now what I'd like to do is pass things over to Rob, and we'll move into the territory of self as instrument. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead and sit up in your chair, if you would indulge me for a moment. If you don't want to move, you don't have to, but we're looking for more alertness, more resilience in the spine, and then go ahead and, if you're comfortable, close your eyes, and just bring relaxation deep in the breath into your belly. If you can, put down pens and paper. And just as you're relaxing into this moment, go ahead and start to massage your hands. Just gently massage your hands, squeeze your fingers. Thank you. And just at your own pace, you can bring your attention outside of yourself and back to me. My hope is that more of you is capable to receive what I'm about to offer. Hopefully. So our basic premise, and this is hopefully this will be one of the more significant things that you hear, but our basic our basic premise is that the world needs more of you. The world needs more of you. Just let that kind of wash through, kind of from head to toe. If that's true, how does that feel? And you, as a part of the world, hopefully, you need more of you. This isn't just the giving of self to other and the cultivation of self to serve other. It's your humanity, the flowering of who you are as a human being in this moment, is perhaps one of the most precious gifts that you can give yourself. And our intention, our hope, is that you can do this both for yourself and for the people around you many times before you die. So this is kind of the heart of self as instrument. And you, it's the gestalt of you, the totality of you. It is your humanity that is the most powerful tool. And how do you bring more of you into your work? How do you bring more of you to yourself? Was that a question? No. Okay, sorry. The presumption that we often work with is that it is our methods, it's our tools, it's our techniques, it's our methodologies, it's by aqualizing things that we become more impactful and more effective. And there's some truth to that, right? Honing our skills and refining the methodologies that we can use to serve, whether it's, you know, we toured many, many different professions, right? But our premise, our basic idea that I want to plant like deep inside of you is that maybe it's just you and your humanity. And if that's true, there's a few kind of, well, there's a lot of implications of what I'm saying right now. And I'm just going to highlight a few. One, it invites us to consider the interior landscape of our own inner world, we might say, and how that might be infinitely significant for how we navigate the outer world. And how we navigate the outer world and what's going on in this room might be really significant for me to investigate for myself. Right? Because inner and outer are interwoven. They're not two. They're inseparable. So That's kind of the first point. But if we're going to navigate the world really well, we better be navigating our own interior at the same time and using what's happening inside of us as information and insight and intuition about what's happening. All right, so the second point is participating with reality is more effective. Participating with reality is more effective. And what's the, so what do we put that against? What is its juxtaposition? Fighting with reality? Right? Some kind of entrenched conflict with reality, not as effective. Has anybody had that experience before? Yeah. I'm glad there's three of us. And then reality, what is true is something that we have varying degrees of contact with. Right? It is possible for us to develop massively complex ways of being that are barely in contact with what's actually occurring around us, and maybe even inside of us. Does that make sense? So we're curious about opening up the aperture of our humanity so that we are working with more of what's true, right? And then participating with that, moving with it. And last but not least, developing your awareness beyond your personal identity is key. So developing your awareness beyond your personal identity is key. Because usually we get consumed by our personal identity and we operate from it. Right? And whenever we're identified with kind of our more typical self, when Rob is fixated as Rob, Rob is thinking about what ideas does he have, what concepts, what, how can he be really masterful, and how can he present himself in a way that he wants to be seen by others. And I actually am totally engaged in a lot of activity inside of myself, and I'm missing a lot, right? maybe it's just me. I am fairly certain that's not, but so this idea of planting our awareness and our perception in some ways beyond ourselves, but also in ways that are deeply intimate with ourselves, we can be more effective in the world. And that's kind of right at the heart of self as instrument. So I really want to appreciate the quality of your listening, your attention, your generosity of your presence, as well as your energetic diversity. We've had like buzzing conversations and exciting exchanges and like deep, like settled equanimity that's curious and open. I really appreciate that. So I want you to close your eyes or just go inside. And you've gotten a few anchors from me. One, our basic orientation is that more of you is needed. that you are your most important and powerful tool. It's not the tips and techniques and methods. That what's happening inside of you can be really important for navigating what's happening around you. And what's happening around you might be really relevant for you to pay attention to inside yourself. That participating with what's real might be helpful. And how full, how do we open up to more reality as a means of giving the traction of our humanity more grip? And lastly, is your development. Some cultivation of awareness beyond or outside of personal identity is key. So in groups of two or three, you're going to turn to people sitting next to you. And if you're alone, just join one of the dyads on either side of you. But we're going to have a small conversation about what was most significant. We're going to do that for about 7-8 minutes. So if there's three of you, divide it up. If there's two of you, divide it up. But I want you to talk about what was most important about what's been shared here around self as instrument, what's landing and what's meaningful, and then, of course, how that might relate to your intention and this wild success that we presenced earlier. So go ahead and turn, and I'll ring a bell, and then you dive in. And if there's questions, raise your hands. There's a bunch of us that can come around. But enjoy your conversations.